You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
When the chips are down and democracy's back is up against the wall, two radio veterans step up to the microphone to right the wrongs, standing for truth, justice, and just because. Hey, are they ready to go yet? It's John and Gordy on 92.7 WMDX.
That was turning up.
Nice.
You know, when I leave the studio, I always turn the headphones down completely.
Is that what you do?
No.
Apparently somebody else does.
Somebody thinks that's a good way to save the headphones.
Apparently we're on the air and, you know, both of our headphone things are down. The volume
we're waiting for the music to start. And,
okay.
What the heck? You know, there's etiquette here, you know?
Yeah.
Studio etiquette.
Leave the studio how you found it.
Yeah.
It wasn't me, guys. I promise.
Well, geez.
We weren't accusing you of anything.
Just don't worry, man. Okay, yeah. Just because your shirt shrank in the dryer, don't take everything so personally.
About it.
I just don't know how to do my laundry, guys. Yeah. I don't know.
Use cold water or lukewarm warm water.
Yeah, I gotta start doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you do that, you know, you're obviously someday going to have to disinfect your clothes because it's not hot water anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that bacteria builds up over time and starts smelling. So you're going to have to do that. And that's the way it normally is now with these new washers and the new temperatures they're using. And everybody's saving their clothes that way.
Hmm. Do you have the heat on with your dryer?
Yes, I do.
Really, all the way up?
No, not all the way up.
I don't use that anymore. Yeah, I don't do that either.
Yeah, that's crazy when I think about it. No wonder I destroyed so many shirts and pants. Just baked them, you know? And they do have elastics in pants and shirts now. And when you do that hot a temperature, then it destroys the fabric.
There you go.
All right.
We're resetting the computer. Everything's a little off here this morning.
Well, you know.
Wait. Okay. I'm watching what you're doing.
We were searching around for some other discussions in regards to Charlie Kirk. We'll be talking about Charlie Kirk a little bit later on.
Yeah. And by the way, good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. That's John Peterson. I'm Gordy Young. Dominic Lee is in the air chair setting things up here for us. Getting it all set. Okay.
All right.
We're almost ready to start the show.
Are we?
I think so. It's the 11th day of September.
We've got so many things coming up today. We've got Tim Slecker in from Busted Pencils, and you have it right next on the sheet here. It says Idiocracy, Tim Slecker.
Well, that's not right.
Let's see here. And then, of course, we have Jim Santel. We'll talk about legal stuff, which has been building up over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, the Supreme Court, you know, in line now to get the decision on tariffs eventually. We don't know when, you know.
Probably a shadow docket thing, and they'll just come out with a decision and no explanation for it. But they keep giving the president more and more powers. And
is that a good thing?
Amy
How's
Coney,
that working out for us
Amy
now?
Coney Barrett had that interview with Brett Baer, and it was very revealing because she says, well, you know, we're making decisions not just for this president, but every president after. So all of this applies to all those other presidents. Really, you think there might be a president after this guy?
Not sure about that.
So, you know, just handing people these decisions without any facts. You're making these decisions, you're giving more power to the president, but you're giving more power to all the presidents after that. Is that still a good idea? No, it's the same thing, you know. You don't want the presidents to have power that is not vested to them in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish the questions had gone that way just a little bit with Brett Baer. He did ask good questions. He just avoided some of the more important ones. How'd you come to that decision? You know, that was an easy question.
That's the way it goes over there on Fox.
I know.
We got a text here already here. Mark from Prairie du Sac up early this morning says the heat, even on the low setting, should take care of the bacteria. So he's
No, it doesn't.
Yeah?
No, it doesn't.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
I've had experience with it. I'm buying gallons of this disinfectant now. I get the unscented. I can't stand scents in anything at all.
So no dryer sheets with scents in.
Oh, no way. No.
Do you use dryer sheets?
No.
Really? Not at all?
No, not at all. Because
why not?
It leaves a coating in the dryer.
Oh.
And you don't want a coating on some of the stuff. Now, we put our eyeglass towels in there as well. So if you put your eyeglass towels, you know, you clean them off with these towels. And you have that coating on it, the softener coating, it just smears it.
Okay.
Come on. Yeah, I mean, really.
Eyeglass towels?
You guys are so guy-like, you know?
But I can't believe you don't use dryer sheets.
I'm so domesticated. What's that?
I can't believe you don't use dryer sheets, though. Doesn't that feel weird? I thought makes the fabric feel really weird. At least for me.
Not having dryer sheets.
Yeah.
Your fabric feels weird
if
you don't have softener in it of some sort, right? Yeah. No, I don't think so. If you just dry it normally and not at a super high temperature, and you dry it longer but at a lower temperature, your clothes turn up perfectly, and you don't shrink all of the polyesters and everything else that are now interwoven in your cottons. It doesn't hurt that stuff, and you save your clothing for a longer period of time.
Got a text here from Catherine that says leaves a coating on clothes, too.
It does. Well, that's the point of it, right? And you don't want that. You don't want it. It leaves a coating in the dryer drum, and it puts coating on everything. So, again, if you don't want coating on whatever it is you're drying, you're stuck. Your dryer's all coated up with that gunk.
I'm learning more here.
So am I.
I really need to know. Catherine, well, she says dryer sheets are terrible. Makes towels smell. Use hot dry on towels only.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hot dry. Okay.
Yeah, because they, you know, again, if they're not dried thoroughly, at a lower temperature for a longer period of time, you do kind of keep those bacteria alive and well in your towels, and over time it builds up and it starts smelling. So you have to. You have to do the towels a little bit differently. Sometimes you put it on sanitize, which is another setting. Hey, guys, ever looked at that?
Fascinating. No, what?
Never looked at the part of the dial that says sanitize? Or, no, towels?
I have no idea what you're talking about. That's guys are really deep in the weeds on this.
I just looked at the dial on the dryer. That's all.
What about washing blankets and coats? And
blankets?
Give us your info. What about your flannel shirts? How do you do those?
They're pretty much the same as any other thing made of material.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Confusing me now.
Okay. Do we have a...
Look at that. They're a new feature right there.
Just Ask Catherine. Okay.
Just Ask Catherine.
All right. So for some household hints?
Yes.
Things like that?
Well, I hope I'm filling in fairly well here, Catherine. Just filling these men in on us.
Do you use Windex for your windows, or do you do vinegar and water? What do you do?
Actually, I now you just you're
how
going
about cleaning
this.
Your refrigerator.
Now I got to give you an opinion on almost all this stuff, you know. Okay, you asked about the windows. What do I use on it? I use Cinch.
Cinch. Now, is that like Windex?
It's better than Windex. Windex sucks. Cinch is so much better.
Cinch. I've never heard of Cinch.
That's why.
Why?
The thing is with Cinch is it really does make your windows shine. It makes glass shine, and it's just super clean and shines. It's really, really great stuff. Anne used it in the cleaning business she had for just a little while.
Okay.
So we're very familiar with that. One of the things though that a lot of people don't know, and you get all these spray cleaners,
right?
At the store, you don't need that.
409.
All you need is what I use is straight vinegar. Okay.
Straight vinegar.
Straight vinegar.
Wow, doesn't that smell?
Straight. Yeah, it does. But then it doesn't smell. You know, it dries and goes away. I put it, sometimes I put a little Dawn in it just to kind of add a little, you know, soap to it. But you can use that. Amazingly, you get all of that crud around your handles, your sink handles, and, you know, and on the sink surface. That's it takes it away. None of the stuff you buy in the store to clean your countertops is works. None of that works. Only vinegar does.
Okay.
Okay, that's...
How about cleaning your oven?
Just
what
ask
do you do
John,
with the oven?
Just ask...
How about your microwave
and
your oven?
I use the oven cleaning setting on the oven.
And how often do you do that?
Everything burns to a crisp and it turns into powder and dust. And then, no, you don't have to do anything.
Okay.
There we go. Okay. Let's just ask John.
Okay.
If you have any carpentry questions, just let me know.
Yeah, how do you clean your carpet? Okay. How often?
No, I...
Okay. Let's move on to Would You Rather. What do you think there, Dominic Lee?
Let's do
the
it.
Italian Stallion?
Yes.
Oh, man. Actually, I like that. I like that nickname.
Do you?
I love it. Yeah.
Okay.
They overused it with...
Who gave you that name?
Yeah, well,
Todd Alba?
Todd Alba did, yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Italian stuff.
Yep, okay. Yep, and he says it every single time he comes in.
Okay.
All right.
Boy, that guy. You know, he tried to steal Sam away from us so many times. now he's going for Dom.
Okay.
All right, first question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you rather live in an all-glass house or a house completely without windows? Just pure brick, no windows.
All glass house.
Really? All glass.
Yeah, I don't think I would. I think I would do house without windows.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I love the darkness. I thrive in the darkness.
Well, they do make shades, you know. It's just a little tip there.
But if it's an all glass house, you shades everywhere? That'd be very difficult, right?
No. No.
Okay. What's the next question?
All right, next question. Would you...
Dude, you're just leading me on. Make John talk some more.
Second question. Would you rather crow like a rooster after every sentence or quack like a duck?
Oh, God. Wouldn't that be wild? I mean, I really want to try doing that, but I... After every statement.
Or quack like a duck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Can't do a duck noise. Something like that.
Yeah. Do you ever see the movie Howard the Duck?
Oh, I have, yes. I've heard that it was, like, terrible.
It's a horrible movie.
It isn't a horrible movie.
It is.
Technologically, it was very interesting how they did that duck.
Okay.
But he didn't quack every time he talked, so no. You know, I'm just like, I don't know, the rooster thing would be interesting to do an entire show where we make a statement and then we...
Crow like a rooster?
Yeah.
I think I would do the rooster, though. Yeah, I would crow like a rooster.
Yeah, I think Catherine would like that if we tried that once. Yeah. You know?
After every sentence? Okay. That would be really difficult.
Yeah.
All where's right. the clothes? Would you rather? Where's the new clothes?
Oh, right here. Right
Did
here.
You use it?
Yeah.
Let's use it.
God, I hate this segment. Fellas, would you rather? Have a good one, everyone.
Do you understand what he said?
I didn't understand the last
You guys will.
I didn't Soon understand enough, the beginning or the end.
Well, he hates the feature.
Okay.
He says, I hate this feature.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. I'm mad every time I have to make it.
All right. We're coming back with more. We're just getting warmed up on this Thursday morning. It's John Peterson and Gordy Young and Dominic Lee on WMDX. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Age of Stupid. And that's really what's trending, the age of stupid.
Boy, is it ever. That's John Peterson. Yeah. I'm Gordy Young.
WMDX 92.7. Check us out on the Civic Media app if you can.
Weather for today, mid-50s this morning. Clear skies. I'm seeing a few clouds from our window, though. Mm-hmm. But hopefully those will clear out for sunshine and highs in the mid-70s today. Out in some of the low-lying areas, there's some dense fog. So yeah. Watch out for that.
Lie in those low-lying
areas.
That's
what I always say, yeah.
We used to always say that way out in Sun Prairie, you know, right. The middle of a cornfield.
It was foggy out there.
It was.
And we realized that the fog's only around us in the cornfield.
That's right.
Everything else is fine.
And we kept seeing children out in the corn.
Yes. Yeah. It was so creepy.
It was.
Yeah. That building is still out there. I don't know if their corn is still there because I think they built buildings all around there.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know.
There are buildings all around it, yeah. But that building is still there for some reason.
Pretty sure that building's
haunted. I thought we destroyed that.
Well, it was haunted. It had a lot of bad mojo there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
No doubt.
Okay. Yeah.
So. What do we have here? What do we have? I don't know. What's up?
Well,
what do we talk
of,
about?
It's the age of stupid.
It is the age.
That's what it's really all about. Yeah. You know, all the accolades for Charlie Kirk. I mean, it was wall to wall last night.
Yeah, it was.
And you wouldn't have expected something like that. I mean, this was just Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, but he had he started this Turning Point thing the day after high school, 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it just grew and grew, and he was really kind of filled the void of Rush Limbaugh, and it kind of went in, but for younger males mainly,
yes.
On the Republican side.
And he decided to do the college circuit.
Yes,
that was his thing.
Yeah, but he that Turning Point thing. You know, he had the podcast. He had a lot of other. I mean, a political action.
Yeah.
Group. $100 million a year he was raking in.
Should we bring up our little discussion about Charlie Kirk's studio?
I don't recall.
We had been using books for our microphones to hold up our microphones for so long.
Before our actual mic stands arrived from wherever they got shipped.
And
from.
I just accidentally saw a podcast of Charlie Kirk, and his studio was just unbelievable.
Well, sure.
I mean, it was gorgeous. Yeah. It was beautiful. Just very simple, but perfect. Mm-hmm. All the stuff was there.
Yeah.
And I'm just like.
Did he have his microphone on book stands?
And I showed everybody books? Here. I showed the studio to everybody. I took a little screenshot of it. And look, this is Charlie Kirk podcast. And, I thought we could do better than that.
I see. You were encouraging the engineers to arrange our studio.
Just like Charlie Kirk.
Like Charlie
Kirk. Yeah, that's my tie-in.
So that was
Charlie Kirk.
Inspiration.
Yeah.
Interesting. But, I must have missed that meeting. I don't remember you showing those pictures. But.
Now, you know, Charlie Kirk said a lot of very controversial things. We'll get to those a little after 7. But I was listening on the way into NPR and... Steve Inskeep has been a reporter there for ages, and he gets all the big interviews. And he was talking to a Republican, a very young Republican, a Gen Zer, who's running for Congress. And Charlie Kirk was his mentor, helped him out, helped pay for some of the things that he wanted to do before he ran for Congress. He started a group to encourage Gen Z individuals to run for political offices.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Kirk helped fund that for him. And then Steve Inskeep said, well, you know, Charlie had said a lot of controversial things, but he always went out there and he had these discussions and these debates.
Right.
And he went out to the college campuses. Was there anything that he learned from that? And this guy went off on Steve Inskeep, who just said, are you kidding me? Is that what you're getting at here?
Oh,
you know, and he was never like that. Boy, you guys, you in the media, you always do this to people on the right, you know, and it's just like it was one of those moments where poor Steve Inskeep was just trying to say, do you think he learned any lessons or maybe, you know, changed his mind about a few things? Very innocent question. But
right?
This guy leveled off on him.
Wow.
That was just uncomfortable.
Mm. I wish I'd heard that.
But, yeah. I'll try to find that. I actually tried to find it on the way in driving, you know. It's not easy doing a search.
When you're driving the space car.
When you're driving the space car. Oh, I got to tell you this. You know, the space car comes with a certain connection. It's called Kia Connection.
Okay.
It's software. It gives you the ability to do a few things like run your car remotely. I could be in the house. I could turn it on. I could get the car warmed up before I go out there.
Right.
And you can do all these things with Kia Connect. Well, it's a pay service. Get that.
Oh.
So now this is another pay service. I might as well have another streaming service. And everything is a pay service. This is ridiculous, right?
And YouTube TV was how much? $50 a month?
It's a lot.
Oh, at least. No, it's actually.
No, it's about 80 or 90.
Yeah, it's about 80 or 90 bucks a month. Yeah. Yeah, I was checking last night after we talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, because I had it, and it costs that much. And the thing is, after you watch a show, it keeps it. You know, you can't delete it from your
library.
History, from your history. So you're just sitting in this big, long history trying to find the shows that you which show was it that I liked so much, you know?
Mm.
You can't just save the ones you like. Yeah. But, yeah, it's pretty expensive. But now I'm, you know, on Kia Connect.
Kia Connect.
And I had to
do you
come
get
up,
a special badge
I had
or
to come up with a by the way
certificate
this is
something?
My story I had to come up with a nickname for my car.
Oh, did you?
And you know what it is?
Space car. Like it.
That was easy.
Okay, we got the Midwest Farm and Food Report coming up, and then Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils will join us on John and Gordy on WMDX.
.7 WMDX. When you hear that music, you know who's coming up. Tim Slecker.
Really? Is that his theme?
Busted Pencils.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it means. John and Gordy in the morning here.
Beautiful
day so far.
Yeah, 6:35. We've got some early morning clouds. We'll see sunshine. Highs in the mid-70s. Right now, 56 degrees. Tim Slecker is with us now from Busted Pencils, the podcast that you can listen to on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah. So,
good morning, Tim.
Good morning to you. We understand that test scores are out.
Yes.
For high school seniors. How are we doing?
Yeah. How's it going?
Well, it seems that last year's graduating class, they can't read.
Really?
It's the simplicity is that. I mean, yeah, you know, so so that would mean freshmen this year in college have gone to college without the ability to read.
Wow. Well, that's pretty.
That seems
that's
like
stunning.
That's not great.
Stunning information.
The National Assessment of Educational Progress, the NAEP, it's called the Nation's Report Card, released scores last week. And the highlight, or earlier this week, I forget, but the highlight is that the reading assessment portion of the test for high school seniors indicated that a whole entire third of high school seniors read below basic levels, and that's one of the bars that they put in the NAEP. Basic and below basic is, you know, an indicator. And a third, and you go, okay, what's going on there? Is this really a drop in test scores? And you know, typically Johnny and I really rail on test scores as And again, these are really worth railing on too, but They are actually lower than the test scores of high school seniors in 1992.
Wow.
Yeah. And so what's going on there? Good question.
Are you thinking cell phones?
We do a lot of reading
on our cell phones, don't we, though?
Well, there's a big issue right now with this that it has brought up is that, well, of course they can't read. We don't ask them to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do any, reading. They don't read books.
Wasn't it mandatory to read a few books of your coursework?
That's the reality there. In this move over the last 40 years to get test scores up, one of the tactics was to break reading down so that we were actually doing this thing called close reading, where we don't ask people to read long works of fiction or anything like mm-hmm. that. You teach them how to read paragraphs to elicit good test scores. And it seems that that the high school, the senior level reading assessment for the NAEP is really geared towards actually seeing if kids have an ability to understand deep meaning.
Yeah.
Well, they don't. And I'm kind of looking at this going, well, why would they? Because we've spent 30 years trying to tell them that deep meaning in reading, that's not the goal. The goal is to read short passages and remember which colors were mentioned in the first three sentences.
Wow.
Mm.
That's not good for people with short-term memory.
It seems counterproductive.
It really does, so, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, okay, I hate to say this phrase.
Go for it.
But when I was in school, I remember doing book reports as early as like second grade. Mm-hmm. And then all the way through school, you did book reports. You would have to, in English class or whatever, you would have to go to the library, which was down the hall in the school. Yeah. You checked out a book. You read the book, and in a couple of weeks, you had to give a book report, and maybe in front of the class, or at least a written book report, and then that would get great. Do they not do that anymore?
Well, no.
Come on. I mean,
there's what you guys, like what we all remember, and then actually, it was funny. My first years in teaching, I was teaching second grade and fifth grade, Pizza Hut had a reading initiative, and so every time kids came in and let me know they read a book,
mm-hmm.
I gave them like a free pizza coupon.
Wow.
That's nice.
and I'm still to this day pretty convinced that most of the parents who signed that their kid read 13 books overnight so they could get 13 pizzas, I'm pretty sure that was the parents saying, get these free pizzas.
and a whole stack of Cliff Notes.
Pizza Hut is not really well known anymore. I mean, most of them are closed. Out of business because they were giving away free pizza.
They weren't known for reading either. So.
And all those books read.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well.
But we brought this up, though,
mm-hmm.
On the Wednesday show, and actually, because I admit this, we have great guests and put people on. Make sure you tune into the show on Saturday. Randy Weingarten, president mm-hmm. of AFT, but this came out because she has a new book out, Why Fascists Fear Teachers, and kind of coming into it,
wow.
I admitted that I don't read books anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Myself. Let me get this frog out of my ear.
No, okay, let me fill in with my own input on it. I stopped reading books as well. My wife is a writer. She writes fiction.
But you
I haven't read one book of hers, partially her first book, but I really do have to finish that one of these days. But well, it's true. But
this goes back to what you kind of the original part of saying is like, has reading itself also changed in the era of cell phones, social media?
Yeah.
You know, we read, we do a lot of short reading nowadays.
Yes, that's it.
You know, we're information gatherers. We don't get in depth, and you know, hey, guess what? When it comes to being deep, Netflix. You know, we're there. But I brought this up because I said, you know, I hadn't read a full book, and I couldn't remember how long until we got, you know, an advanced copy of Randy Weingarten's book. And digging deep into that, it was a great book. And so, you know, kind of thinking about this and putting the test scores in there together and kind of going, you know what, maybe the test that is testing for something we don't really do anymore, which is this kind of deep reading. And now we can criticize that, the fact that we maybe don't do that anymore. But the reality is like we said, is, you know, we're not doing in-depth, deep book type of reading. And if that's the type of reading we're trying to assess, seems to not make sense. And so maybe these test scores are suspect from the standpoint of going, you know, were they really testing the things that kids are doing today? Because, you know, short form reading is what we do. But anyway, you know, put all that together. But why fascists for your teachers? Now, if you want to start reading deep, long books, not, and again, not really, really long, Randy Weingarten's new book is fully worth sitting down, John. And I know your wife might get mad that you read this book over hers.
Oh, yeah.
But I would take the opportunity to read this book.
I think it's a great book. At least it sounds like a good book for the times right now, you know, something we need to kind of know more about.
It is. And, you know, started off with a little bit of the lightness with the NAEP scores, but why fascists fear teachers? And then, you know, the horrendous episode that happened yesterday, you know, in Utah Valley University with the political assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
And recognizing where are we at in these times, that actually education, places where, you know, we said, and this is what we really liked about what Randy talked about, is that schools and teachers for the longest time have been inviting people with differences to safe spaces to have critical, sometimes uncomfortable conversations. And that's the work of a teacher. And the reality that we've now been facing is that, you know, welcoming differences was this kind of like, well, that's diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's woke indoctrination.
It is, yeah.
You can't do that. And mix that in together where we've got these, you know, political extreme conversations happening on the fringes that, you know, is there a safe space? And this is frightening to realize that college campuses and, you know, let's not forget that yesterday there was another school shooting in Colorado.
Right, just after the Charlie Kirk shooting.
Yeah.
That are spaces of where we're supposed to feel safe, because you can't learn if you don't feel safe. These places now have been fully now put up to say, yeah, guess what? There's no safe place right now in America for us to have conversations about potentially critical topics, things we disagree with. And how did we get here?
Yeah.
You know, how did we get to this point that now it seems that your political opposition, the way you engage with them is to take them out.
Right. Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. You know, we had these free speech zones, but when they had those, then they banned firearms near them, and they kind of suggested that they were dangerous areas to be in if you were in a free speech zone because you weren't armed. And then, of course, I think all of these speakers, like Charlie Kirk, way back when, maybe 10, 20 years from this point, they all played up the fact that they were in danger speaking on campus. I don't know. Remember, it was the academic freedom movement, and they invited these very controversial guests, and the conservative ones played up the fact that their lives were threatened, and they had to have these huge entourages of protection around them. The universities couldn't even afford the protection for some of these people. Their requests for protection, they couldn't afford it, so they didn't invite these people on, and then they got in trouble for not doing that. So it became a badge of honor having a lot of protection around you because your life is always threatened. I think they brought on a lot of this by suggesting that, you know, maybe you're a target. Just a theory.
Yeah.
Gordy.
Yes. Well, I want to get back to reading books and how some of that's on the parents. I don't want to blame the schools.
I think I summed it up. But I'll tell you what, we're going to come back after this break and we'll continue with Gordy's point on this.
Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils stays with us here, and we'll be right back with John and Gordy on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
That's John and Gordy in the morning on WMDX 92.7 and on your Civic Media app as well. Check us out. Give us a text or a voice note. Mm-hmm. We want to hear from you.
It is 6:52. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. We should be in for a good deal of sunshine mixed in with the clouds. Highs in the mid-70s today. Right now, 56 degrees. We started out this conversation talking about reading skills and tests that have recently shown that
and not reading books
kids
anymore.
Don't know how to read anymore. And I think this is maybe just my opinion, but I think a lot of this has to do with what environment did you grow up in at home? Did you have parents that read books? And I did, and and there were books all over the place. You know, I remember big bookshelves in just about every room of the house. And so I grew up in that environment, and you know, the library was a place to go to see all the different books and just see the thousands of books out there that have been written over the ages. And what do you want to take a look at? You know, you'd wander around the library and just pick out something interesting. And also, I still to this day, I guess unlike you guys, I still, you know, read at least two or three books a year. I feel like I'm kind of lacking in that. I think I should be reading more.
I didn't realize that you were that old.
Yes, I am that old.
Wow.
But I still enjoy going, you know, Barnes & Noble is still a fun place for me to go. I enjoy, you know, just seeing what's out there.
Oh, I love going in there.
I like to go to the library once in a while, but I guess, you know, you guys' library cards may have expired.
Well,
I don't know.
Let me adjust my thinking about you. I thought you had attention deficit, but
really?
If you can read a whole book, wow.
Wow.
Well, there are lots of great books out there.
What you're talking about, Gordy, though, too, is there's a cultural shift.
Yeah.
That actually, you know, and it's worth criticizing. It's worth knowing about. And it's also kind of worth going, huh, you know, so maybe what I did isn't necessarily, you know, the way things should be done now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not criticizing you for being, you know, a weird solo kid hanging out in the library when, you know, other kids were out playing. You know,
I wasn't quite like that.
He was a quiet type collecting kind of, the weapons at home.
You kind of making it sound creepy now, but
no.
The other thing is, you know, what about Reading Rainbow, LeVar Burton? Are there still shows like that on educational television? And I guess, you know, because PBS has had their funding cut, you know, there that goes.
We don't need Reading Rainbow. We've got Prager U now.
But you're right. It is a cultural shift. My son reads a lot of books. My 40-year-old son is, you know, he's deep into science fiction. He loves it, and he reads, you know, several books at a time sometimes. But my daughter, just the opposite. I don't think she's a reader.
It is shifting. Is it the information, how we get information now, how it's delivered, you know, print reading, the idea of holding a book and, you know, when you get your book on your phone, mm-hmm. if you do want to read it, you know, the Kindle kind of in that sense. And I remember, you know, my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, you know, who were, again, voracious readers, you know, they had transitioned, though, to the Kindle.
Yeah.
And so not holding a book, you know, moving on. And so thinking about now students and kids who are on their phones and they can get books and things like that. So, you know, are they reading? But then how much of that turns into this kind of, you know, short form scrolling for information.
Yeah.
And then the ability, and we even said, you know, so audiobooks, I mean, even back in the 90s when I was driving back and forth to the University of Maryland for my doctorate, I was doing books on tape like mm-hmm. crazy just mm-hmm. because I was spending it. And so I was getting that way. And now here's something to throw at you guys. I could take a book, I could throw it into my favorite ChatGPT feature, and I can ask ChatGPT to read it to me with some voice intonation that makes it fun.
Yeah.
And I could actually load up my ChatGPT and say, actually, what I want you to do with this book is actually scale it down, figure out where there are probably likely going to be test questions from this book and prepare me for the test that obviously my teacher is going to throw at me for reading this book.
That's amazing.
So,
interesting.
Yeah. So what does all this mean? And we said during the break, it might mean that we just go back to the feather quill.
I was thinking the same thing.
You know,
we got to start from the beginning. Okay. You know, I think a lot of people are using their phones. I think social media has made things more immediate for people. They want to find out things immediately. I read an article about teenagers now using their phone to get sexual advice, emotional support, dating.
AI dating.
Everything is kind of immediate for now. What's happening socially, and reading something long term is much more difficult now. Just a thought.
Well, I use it, you know, when my wife and I have our disagreements, I turn it on and record, and then I have an earbud in, and I have it say, now say this to her. You know, and it helps.
Really?
Oh, that's good. Okay. Good application. I'll keep that in mind.
We'll have to leave it there. Dr. Tim Slecker, thanks for joining us. You can catch Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Radio Network on the website there, on the app.
Yep.
Tim, always great to talk to you.
It was a lot of fun.
Hey, Saturday show, Randy Weingarten, Why Fascists Fear Teachers.
Well, that very sounds good. All right.
Good deal. Jim Santel comes into our 7 o'clock hour next on WMDX.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.